And this evening in the devotional, I'm wanting to jump ahead a couple of chapters of where we'll be at tonight, to Numbers chapter 20. If you don't turn in your Bibles there, would appreciate it. In Numbers chapter 20, we have an account of what happens as the children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness as God is directing them, punishing them for their sin and for their transgressions. And in chapter 20, Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1, we notice that the Bible says, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. The people chode with Moses and spake, saying, 'Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought us up, and why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt and to bring us in unto this evil place? Is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink.' And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink.' Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, 'Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?' And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, 'Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them.'" Here Moses had gotten the people water, right? He had given them water, basically saved their lives. But do you realize that there was another event, very much like this one previous? Hold your place there in Numbers chapter 20. Look with me at Exodus chapter 17. We are studying through the book of Exodus, and we've studied through the book of Exodus before. And in Exodus chapter 17, we have a very similar account. Previously, in the history of Israel, in chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeyings, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people, take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shalt come out water of it that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" We see a lot of similarities between these two events. They're separate events. This one had happened previously in the life of the nation of Israel. The one that we read in Deuteronomy was later. But what happened was the people were thirsty. Yes, both accounts. People had been called together in assembly. Yes, you read both accounts that had happened. In both accounts, the people were angry, yes. The people were murmuring against Moses, yes. But in this one, God told Moses to strike the rock in Exodus. That was what he'd done in Numbers, and the Lord was displeased. Why? The Lord had told him to speak to the rock, if you notice that account. But wait a minute. The Lord had said previously, had given him a command previously to strike the rock, and the water had come out, and the Lord wasn't angry with Moses on that account. Surely Moses could now, in the book of Numbers, later do what he'd done previously in obeying the Lord. The Lord had given him different commandments, a different command. He had commanded Moses to speak to the rock, not to strike the rock in the book of Numbers. You mean Moses couldn't fall back to the previous command that God had given him and obey that? No. Nope, that was it. It was done. It was past. God had told him what he wanted on the occasion of Numbers. You know, there are many today that will try and drag in parts and pieces into the worship assembly, and they will make the claim that we find it in the Old Testament. And indeed, you can. Things such as instrumental music in worship, many people will run to the Old Testament and say, see, here, David used the instrument in worship to God, and that's true. David did. Well, they had marriage and divorce and remarriage for any reason, Deuteronomy 24, if some uncleanness is in them. So it was pretty free. Well, now, surely today we can divorce and remarry for just any cause, right? Because we can hang our hat on what we read in the Old Testament, what was written previously, what God had allowed, permitted, suffered previously. What about idolatrous worship? You know, there are people that are worshiping idols. God put up with that for a time in Israel. So here's my point. In looking at the account in Exodus and Numbers in regard to Moses, Moses disobeyed God. God had given him the commands that he wanted him to obey, and he couldn't fall back on previous regulations, if you will, from the Lord. We cannot today fall back on the Old Testament. It's been nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14. Taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The old covenant is done. And we can't, just like Moses couldn't, go back and hang our hat on what was done previously. God has given us now a better covenant, a new covenant. The Hebrews writer said in Hebrews 10 and verse 9, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first," that's the old covenant, "that he may establish the second." That's the new covenant that we live under now. But notice, the old covenant's been taken away. God had prophesied in Jeremiah 31 that he was going to make a new covenant with Israel and Judah. Not like the covenant he'd made with their fathers, which covenant they break. But he was going to make a new covenant. In Hebrews 8 and verse 8 beginning, there the Hebrews writer makes reference to Jeremiah 31:31 and following, and applies that to the new covenant that we live under today. So those people that say, well now, we can keep the Sabbath today. You know, there are religious groups out there that say that. Well, we have to keep the Sabbath today. That was nailed to the cross. You can't go back to what God had given previously. He's given new instructions, a new covenant. That old covenant was leading to the new, yes. But as I said, no more than Moses could go back to the previous commands God had given and be pleasing to God after God had said specifically what he wanted, speak to the rock. He didn't say strike the rock. Many today would say, we didn't say not to strike the rock. But there again, as I've said, silence is not permissive. Silence does not authorize. When God speaks to the matter, that settles it. Everything else is excluded. So, Those people that claim that we are to hold the Sabbath or the Sunday Sabbath, as some people mistakenly think. Sunday was the first day of the week because it's impossible for it to be the Sabbath. It's impossible. It's given to the nation of Israel anyway. But again, my point is this. We cannot go back to those old laws, the old covenant, instrumental music and worship. God hasn't spoken to the matter. There is no authority for instrumental music and worship. God has spoken to the matter that there is one reason for divorce and remarriage scripturally, and that is for the cause of fornication, Matthew 19 and verse 9. You just can't jump in and out of marriages, in and out of marriages, in and out of marriages. They had plurality, plural marriages in the old covenant. God regulated it. He put up with it. Wasn't his ideal. He brought everything back to the center where it needed to be with the new covenant. So again, I wanted to take time to look at Numbers chapter 20 and Exodus chapter 17 because these teach a valuable lesson that we hang our hat on what God has said today, just as Moses should have. He should have spoken to the rock, not struck the rock. That was done. And notice, it cost him. Cost him going into the promised land. Those people that will try and go back to the old covenant will try and justify worship practices and those things not in the new covenant and try and justify it based on the old covenant, they will not go into the promised land, spiritually speaking, heaven, on the other side of the Jordan, where all New Testament Christians will arrive if we have been found faithful at the end of life, if we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8, verse 24, repenting of a life of sin, Luke 13, 3, confessing the name of Jesus Christ, Matthew 10, verse 32, and being baptized in water, for unto the remission of sins, Mark 16, 16. If you do that, and if you've done that, when you come out of the waters of baptism, every sin you ever committed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven, with heaven as your goal. But one must be faithful. Jesus said, Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. That is what we are looking for, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters. And that's the covenant that we live under today, not the old covenant, a better covenant. It's what the book of Hebrews teaches, a better covenant built on a better mediator and better promises. Read the book of Hebrews. That's exactly what it's talking about. Is there someone here that needs to obey the gospel this evening? Have their sins washed away? Is there someone here this evening that has obeyed the gospel in time past? And you have left the Lord, you have left His will and left His way in stubborn rebellion, turned your back on God, who lovingly, anxiously awaits your return, like we learn in the parable of the prodigal son. The father that was looking for the son to return, the Lord is looking for His wayward child to return, to come back to Him. If you have obeyed the gospel in time past and you have left His will and way, you can come back by penitence and prayer. And you must make a public confession. You must make a public confession because if your sin is of a public nature, you must make a public confession lest you bring reproach upon the church. Whatever your need might be, come forward as together we stand and we sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Jesus, not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus. You are now dismissed to your classes.